I'm very Christmassy too.
Hello and welcome to the Hugh Hattrick Show. We are live from the northeast of England and across the UK and across the globe. It's fantastic to see you all. Thank you very much for joining in. Now we have two very, very special guests here. We have Rue, who is over there in Wales outside with his friend Ant, who is burning some wood there for the solstice day, isn't it? It's the 21st of December, the shortest
Yule
day.
Yule log celebration. He's burning his Yule
log celebration. So we're getting celebrations there in the background from Rue. And we've got a celebration for Darren Turner, who has just hit 500 subs on YouTube.
It's more now. It's about 540-odd.
That's fantastic. I just saw your tweet. That's brilliant. That's fantastic. So I will go to Rue first before he goes up in smoke. we'll see if he can still be there. Rue, you had an interesting year, and you have been trying GT7 quite a bit. I've seen you in the time trials.
But I'd say quite a bit. I've been trying it a little bit since I fixed the rig, because my fat ass broke it. Literally snapped the back legs. So since I've sort of strengthened that, and it's now a lot stronger. So do it again. It's been. I mean, I'm still super slow, especially compared with you, you horrible person. But I think the closest I've got to you is like 3 seconds behind you, which I was really pleased with. I got a silver. I used to be just outside the 10%. I love these new time trial things. You know, they're making a thing of the time trials. I love that because I hate the racing. Because Dodgems is fun on a fairground, but not on a racetrack. And most of the people that we seem to encounter, like, Banzai! You know.
Yes, you're a target.
Like, I don't know whether they're all like 3 years old and they're just doing this with the steering wheel or what. I don't know. Still faster than me though, which is really annoying. But yeah, doing the time trials and before I was really pleased if I got say 9.5% from the fastest. Yeah. And I'm like, oh yes, thank you very much. 200,000 bronze medal. He was like going, you just got into gold. I'm like going, shut up. Just shut up. And then We did a thing with, did we stream it? I can't remember whether we streamed it or whether
I tried to help you go a bit faster.
And I was quite pleased because I got in the 8%. Uh-huh. And then coaching, I got in the 7%, wasn't it?
Yeah, at least we got you down a couple of seconds.
But it was, you know, I progressed. Progression is good. I like that. But then a few weeks ago, I did some time trials and I was like 14%. And it's like, what? And then I get frustrated, and then I deliberately crash into a wall, hoping it explodes, and I die in a ball of flames.
You must have filled your car with diesel, and otherwise makes that's why you've lost your speed.
I'd rather fill it with diesel than electric. At least it get around the track.
Okay then, right to Darren. You've been doing some phenomenal times, and I've seen you in the time trials. And you've just hit 540 odd subscribers, which is great. And I'd like to welcome as well many of our new subscribers tonight, because we've had a phenomenal day. We've had about 50 new subscribers just today. And we had a great stream with Stubaghetti earlier on this morning, which was great fun and really worked. It was a remarkable interview. Really, really good. Well worth watching. But for you, Darren, how is your year on GT3 been? I know you've been a little bit in the background, haven't you? But how's it been going for you?
On GT3, you're a bit behind.
Sorry,
me. GT7 now, mate. There's a new one out. I've not played it as much as what I could have been. I have started doing a bit more recently, but it's been good. What I've been doing, I've managed to get one account up to A+.
Wow.
Which I was quite pleased with. I've done that. Yeah, I'm just trying to work on the others now. But I have started playing a little bit more recently. Uh-huh. I'm enjoying them new missions, what they give you. You know, where you get the five green bands.
Yeah, they're good, actually, aren't they?
They are. They're a bit easy, but they are good fun.
Yeah.
It's like, I've not bothered. I don't do anything with the single player mode. I never bother with it. It doesn't interest me that I'm only there. I'm like doing the online racing. That's it. The same with sports. I like all the. Everyone's complaining about the rammers and all stuff like that. I hardly get any of them. So it's everyone's complaining about it. I only get the odd one now and again.
You've had a good run.
The races, I suppose, doesn't it?
Yeah. Oh, we've got Flash Tiger in the comment series saying hello to everyone. And Flash Tiger is very, very fast. And we've got Fires as well. Flash is doing amazingly well. His channel has grown in a brilliant way, actually. He's doing, and his videos have been excellent. So what we're doing tonight, really, is opening up the comments and the chat. The Grey Wolf, David McLean, is in. It's good to see you too. We are opening up to your comments and questions to really have a kind of discussion as to what we all think of GT7 and what we think is good about it and what we think is bad about it. So what do you think? I'll start off quickly with Darren. What are your kind of top three things that you like about GT7 at the moment?
What do I like about it? I love the racing.
Yeah.
That's it. I mean, I don't do racing because they're always on stupid cars that I can't drive. Yeah. Don't do that. I know Arkies does them, and he's great at them.
But I quite like this week's one.
I'm not even bothered with it. I just do the Group 3s, Group 4s. That's it. What do I like about it? It's just good. It's just fun.
Yeah.
Mrs. Darren just said it gets me away from her, but that's true. It's just good. I mean, I love GT Sport, and it's just... the online bit, the daily racing, it's just the same. It's the same as that. Although they have changed some of the tracks slightly. There's a couple of little bits that are different from GT Sport, which I don't like. But I think, what was it? Lego Maggiore, as you come up the hill before the left-hander, before the S's, they put, like, barriers along the side so you can't see. I don't know why they've done that. It's just little changes like that. They're what I don't like. Yeah. But everything else about it, I think it's great.
Yeah,
It's just a fun game.
Yeah, and then what are the three things that you don't like about it?
What I don't like about it. There's nothing really that I don't like about it. Mrs. Darren doesn't play it. That'd be better if she played it. What don't I like about it? There's nothing really.
Uh-huh.
I don't get the music rally bit. That's a bit boring. I don't get that. But I still play.
What the hell is that?
I've no idea. But I still do it, though. I still do it. It's quite bizarrely. I'm probably one of the few people that does actually still do it.
Music rally is great. I have to keep changing my PS5, though, because I have it on a broadcast thing, and you can't do the music rally if it's got the broadcast clause on in your machine or something like that. I have to change.
Right. Why use music that... just like that, they've not thought that through, have they?
No, I think it's just a stopgap.
Now, here's an interesting thing. Now, I don't know
someone in an office. Oh, I've got a good idea, very good idea. Everybody loves it. Nobody loves it, but they're sticking with the idea anyway. Yeah. We put music on your drive. So it's like having the radio on. Oh, okay.
Except you get copyright claims if you use the music. I put music in on. Here's an now the chat might understand this, and they might have an idea what this is all about. I put on music on one of my videos from. I edited it in the Share Factory on the PS5 app, and you can add quite modern music, all sorts of different styles. And then when I launched the video on YouTube, I got a copyright strike. Well, like I got a copyright. Hang on it. So I went on to it and I have disputed it to say, well, I got it from the PS5 Share thing on the Share Factory. So surely if it's on there, it must be copyright or you must have permission to use it as why would they allow you to put it on? So if anyone has any clue as to why they do that, then they could let us know and how to avoid
it. I just make sure all my music's copyright free.
Aye.
And I can't remember where to get it from. I can't remember the place where I get it from. Sorry. It'll come back to me. I'll let you know.
So, Darren, have you been making videos then as well? Or have you just been...
No, I've done a few videos. I think I did one day before yesterday. Just a little short one about a, yeah, I think it was yesterday or the day before.
Yeah.
I was doing them quite a bit, but I didn't have time.
Yeah, yeah.
Like work just gets in the way, and cause like I originally started streaming during lockdown, and it's just sort of petered off a bit. I need to start doing it again.
Yeah, it is good fun getting back into.
I did one video about 4 weeks ago, and the other night it got like 1,300 likes over views overnight, and I don't know how.
Wow.
It was only like 100 and something, and then it just went through the roof.
That's all right, isn't it? Yeah.
I'm not complaining.
Lockdown, didn't they? It's like the whole world suddenly had nothing to do. So, what do we do? Oh, we're going on YouTube.
And, was that a big banana bread?
I mean, not necessarily sim racing people, but just generally on YouTube, haven't they?
Yeah.
The last it's Collins, a Canadian lass. And what's nice is that she's actually quite funny and has put a lot of work into sort of sketches and stuff. She's not just someone that does stupid dancing, you know. And she went from nothing, literally nothing. She's now got over 40 million followers on TikTok and 10 million on YouTube.
That's not bad.
That's not bad. And she does sort of, you know, creative stuff that's entertaining. There was a Scottish lass, redhead called Eleanor Morton. She does sketches as well, and she just suddenly the algorithm picked her up, and she went from 500 odd. Now she's got 93,000.
Wow!
Yeah. That's going now.
Yeah, that's all right, isn't it?
To be fair, I think they deserve it because they've actually been clever and creative rather than just moronic like a lot of people. Like me. Driving. I crashed.
You have to do that on YouTube then, Rue. Are you going to do a video on the Moron's Guide to YouTube or something like that? I'm only joking. Right.
To my friend here.
Unless we can come up with some more GT7 subjects, I think we should switch to F1 because I know on Formula One we're all going to have some good discussions with this one. Oh, Darren,
say about it.
Yes.
Don't mention him.
I'm done. I'll start this off. I'm done. Last season was the last time I'm bothering.
Yeah.
Every time I try to watch it, you can see that I sent Hugh a video of Ayrton Senna going around in his camel banana coloured lotus, whatever the hell it was, going around Monaco, and it was amazing. His skill was amazing, all that kind of stuff was amazing, no power steering, all amazing. But the most fantastic thing was the camera work. You could see what was happening, you could see what he was doing, and you could go, wow, that's amazing. Now you can't see anything. You can see amazing graphics and people getting really excited. You can see people in the crowd. You can see 15 cuts for one car going around a corner. How the hell can you tell? And it's usually, it's so tight up. Look, here's me in Formula One. You can see nothing. And then you get idiots on Radio 5. Let's talk about custard.
Yeah, it can be random.
Custard. And then they go, well, we don't like practice because it's boring. Well, maybe look at the racing, you divvy.
You're not enjoying it, Rue, are you?
I haven't finished that. My favourite thing, and this will be the and discuss, I've renamed it, it's now called Red Flag Racing. Because I can't remember a single session in the last 6 months that hasn't had a red flag in it. I don't remember this being a problem for the 30 years I followed it before. And they're even, and then you get the commentators going, well, we want it's good to bunch the field up again. And I'm like, why? So someone's shown incredible skill and ability, and they're in a good car, you know, a good combination of incredible skill and ability, and they're beating everybody, and then it's all for nothing. So why not just have two laps? Just have two laps, because you're going to ruin it anyway. Bringing out a safety car after clearing it up. Well, clean it
but
up
he
now.
Tried it with just one lap in 2021 and everyone went mad.
Oh, that was crazy.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's still a sore point, and that's still a sore...
rules, and then you change the rules, and then you sack the guy that changed the rules, even you know someone told him to do it. And then it's like, you know what? Done with you. Trinity Media, get lost. Get out.
But you know, the guy coming back, though.
He's trying to survive.
Yes.
But on Sunday.
Yeah. But Michael Massey... Every time Michael Massey entered the pit lane, or if he was at the Grand Prix, there was a big kerfuffle, wasn't there? They were like saying, "Should he be back? Should he be allowed back?"
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy. I mean, I do think he made a big mistake. There's no doubt. I think he tried to take the race into his own hands 2 years ago, and that was a mistake. Should have just let it play out and stick by the rules. As Jerry has put it out there. It's F1 is 1% sport, 99% entertainment, if you class it as that. And I think, it is kind of the only thing that I have been kind of slightly impressed with in a kind of funny way is when they had the Grand Prix in Miami and also in Vegas, I did quite like the way they brought out the drivers. You know, like in Miami, it was quite funny though. It was like kind of gladiators. You know, they had the big drum roll and then the big build up, and then they walked through with a kind of smoke kind of pouring on the other side, and they walked
the
through and gave them away.
Very Americanized now, though.
It kind of worked in Miami and Vegas.
But it's always the same now.
I think Ruse about to have a stroke.
Ruse, you look like you're going to explode.
You know.
Yeah, listen, this guy's been really upsetting me lately. Yeah, he did a video where he called Eau Rouge Radion, and I nearly killed him. I wasn't even near it. Like hundreds of miles.
I did that to wind you up.
Come on. Say that again, mate. How many times on the commentary have I whinged about it and even given the corner at the top a name? It is now called the corner at the top. So people know where it is.
Now they're saying they're going to get rid of. We're going to get rid of it. They're going to get rid of Belgium and replace it because they reckon it's too dangerous and they want to.
They can't do that. I don't know because I don't care anymore, do I? So they still do sport cars on it. So.
Was that after that driver was killed? Was it this year? Was it?
Yeah, or last there was a couple of drivers that have been seriously injured and killed, and they're saying that now it's going to be quite difficult to renew its license because A, the safety, and also because it's of where it is. They want to have these city tracks where everybody can just arrive, and it's easier to let them watch.
Enough though, you know.
To be fair,
if a wheel comes off, it doesn't matter what corner's there. You're going to be no matter how safe those cars are. Down the middle of Kemmel and Kemmel Straight. It used to be when you read Jackie Stewart's autobiography and he's got this photograph of 12 people and he said by the end of the year 6 of them were dead. And you know it wasn't the danger that he had a problem with it. It was the ridiculous danger. You know, like having trees lining a track all of us are sort of appalled by. Jimmy Clark dying 15 foot of a tree. I've stood there and that's nuts. And not having medicines. And Jackie Stewart fought against that. And you know, he had death threats. It's stupid. Oh, you're ruining it. He wasn't ruining it. He just wanted that if he had to crash, he wasn't guaranteed to die. And he had some kind of medical facilities that knew where the hospital was because they lost when he had his big accident at Spa, the old Spa, the Master King. The ambulance lost its way 3 times on the way to the hospital. Stuff like this. And then, of course, we lost Senna and this kind of stuff. But now it's a rare event that anyone's even injured. And frankly, the way some of them drive, it's like the cars, and they are indestructible anyway. You know, when they bash into each other and punt each other out of the way. They asked Jackie years ago, when I watched this, when he used to be at the Indy paddock and he was, I think just before he started Stewart Racing or while he had Stewart Grand Prix. And Schumacher, you know, Schumacher had that thing he used to bump into people and he was a bit elbow, wasn't he? And he also had this.
Robin Brayton.
he would go faster and faster and faster until he came off the track, and then he knew that was the limit, and he'd back off. And they asked Jackie, said, so what happened? You know, how did you deal with that? You know, bashing into people and going off the track, and he goes, we didn't. Obviously, this reporter wasn't used to F1. I mean, what do you mean? He goes, because if you did that, you died. If you bashed into another car, you both died. So everyone always went to the room because we didn't want to die. Now, the cars are so safe. It's like people driving down the road and they're 6 foot behind you at 90 mile an hour. And you're thinking, you think the computer and ABS is going to stop you. You think your airbag is going to save you at 90? Because you fly through the air, pirouette, and hit a lamppost, you know. It's human nature. As things get too safe, people take risks they shouldn't. Anyway, so one of the best racing tracks in the world is going to lose its F1 license because the corner's dangerous. Your brakes fail approaching Lacombe. You're doing 230 miles an hour. How wide are you going to be?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to go through that Armco like a cheese grater.
Well, it's amazing how they have improved it, but the problem is if it gets wet, if you have one bit of that track at the bottom that's wet, then it gets really dangerous and you can't see with the spray. And then, of course, if somebody goes off, or even, in fact, that crash that happened a couple of years ago in the F2, I think it was because one person got out of shape in the wet and then they couldn't see what happened and they all went piling in.
But they all complain now it's racing in the wet.
Yeah.
They never used to do it. Schumacher and all and Senna, they used to get on with it.
No, that was
and
it. That, it was
now
it's
a bit of spray, and they're like, oh, we can't race in that.
They'll
have mud flaps on them soon.
Now we've had an interesting one. A question here because I put some comments in the chat there, and it is Joshua who has said. Here we are. Now I need to go up here. Joshua Jackson has said that Mugello, which is in ACC, they use that in ACC quite a lot. That would be a good Formula One track, and it is. It's a good track, actually. That would be a good one.
When lockdown started,
they used the Portugal one, the Portugese one, which Jerry Portimão. I like Portimão. I actually thought that was quite a good track. I quite enjoyed that.
And it's Mugello.
Mugello. Oh, my Italian's brilliant. But, you know.
Listen, it's my only job.
Now here we are. And Connor Jackson has said, swap Vegas with Laguna Seca. Now, that would be an interesting one. That would be an interesting one, wouldn't it? Because of the corkscrew.
Imagine F1 cars going down a corkscrew.
I can't
see the F1 cars getting round there, to be honest.
They have done it.
They would literally, they'd lose all the downforce, wouldn't they?
Well, they've done it. I'm sure they had a Red Bull there earlier this year, and they did a video. I'm sure they did a video. That would be amazing because it's such a short circuit, and really the only overtaking's in turn one, and maybe around some of the wee bits, maybe going up the hill possibly, and then obviously because the corkscrew would be tricky. You'd have to be quite brave to overtake going into that.
I used to watch MotoGP where they went there, and watching those bikes flip-flop down the corkscrew. You expect them to sort of like flip from one side to the other and just bang their head on the floor. That it was so vicious. F1 cars, I don't know.
Jerry's saying that the IndyCar used Laguna Seca.
Oh, do they?
That they'd used that up until in the past. Now that would be an interesting one. Oh, how about Willow Springs?
Willow Springs. That's my favourite track ever.
I do like it. It is fun, actually. I'm not so keen on the smaller ones that are kind of around it. But Big Willow, I do like.
Big Willow's my favourite track. I love it.
Yeah. I love it in the F-150 pickups. I think that would be quite a good race. I think that would be quite a fun one, actually.
Yeah, that'd be good. I'd do that one.
Yeah. There was one, I think you could do that. Ah, Vorter. John Vorter has joined us all the way from America and is wishing us a very Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas to you all, too.
Merry Christmas.
Yes, yeah.
How about... Happy holidays. Shut up. How about... Sorry. Snokies, they get everywhere. How about Big Willow in 1 litre cars, like minis and that little Fiat Abarth, souped up as much as you like, but little one litre, that would be insane.
That'd be a good race to do that.
That'd be amazing.
I've got a mini.
I've got souped up to the nines, and I've got a Fiat Abarth. So, you know, I got it bored out to 1.1, bored out. It's on a computer, you know what I mean? in the tuning section. And it's got so much turbo lag. It's like waiting, and you can hear the turbo. That's what I love about GT7 is the sound. It's not always, but quite often, if you can turn the telly up a bit, and you hear the shh, and then you go, it's this little it's box on wheels. It's square. Aerodynamic to the brake. Little 1 litre engine. Fantastic. I love them. We should definitely do that. The Patrick Darren Turner Trophy.
Yeah, I'm up for that. We can do that.
1 litre cars.
I like the Mini Cooper when they do it at Goodwood. When they do the Mini Coopers at Goodwood, it can be quite fun. Kind of chaotic, but it is quite fun.
The corner, they're going up the inside of massive Ford Galaxies and Mustangs. And then on the straights, they're getting overtaken by the massive bug. And it's like...
That's proper racing, that, though.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I love watching them.
Front-wheel driving, drifting around these bends. This is mad, man. Yeah. We've got that. Everything you just said.
But I'll tell you one that was actually good fun, was the last one that they did, the last time trial, when they had that Ford Mustang. At Deep Forest Raceway. That was actually really nice to drive.
I didn't do it. I never do any of the time trials.
Oh, you should have a go, Darren. I'm sure you would be good.
I know. I never bother with them. I tried it was one last week in the Bugatti VGT.
Oh, yeah, that was a tough one.
I had a go at that one. I don't know what time I got. I just had a go at it. I'm not bothered about getting the credits or whatever. I just thought, right? But my reactions aren't quick enough for that car.
It was great. It was a quick machine, wasn't it? It was because people were actually they were driving over the grass. You know, when you have that kind of middle bus stop chicane and you have to have a good exit off that. And the line allowed you, I was talking to this to Cipaghetti earlier, that it was just like you can go halfway on the grass. And if you did that, of course, your time was so much better than if you actually stayed on the curbs and on the track.
I can't react quick enough to drive that thing.
Now, Jerry's saying to Roo, are you at a rave? Because all you can see is flashing lights in the background. You need to show Simon, Jerry and the audience here where you are.
See, with Ant, there's Ant. Wave.
Hello, Ant.
We are burning his Yule log, which he did earlier in the toilet. No, not really. It's a real Yule log that he's kept all year. Apparently, correct me if I'm wrong, all of the stuff that happens during the year goes into the log, then you burn it and you get good luck the next year. Whatever. I'm sitting outside. With a fire.
Yeah, keeping warm. Keep it nice and warm.
I am personally celebrating International Rush Day 2112. I've been listening to Rush or cooking all evening, thinking about Rush, marveling at Rush. Just it's Rush Day. Come on.
I'm going to sound really bad here. What's Rush Day, Roo?
Rush Day is the greatest rock band ever to have lived ever. The most amazing power trio, three Canadians. I think they're generally known as the biggest cult band in the world. So they're not like hundreds of millions of album sales. I think they're 40 million. But they were going for 45 odd years, retired in 2015. Their drummer died 4 years ago on the 10th of January. Neil, probably the greatest drummer ever.
Are they any good?
A little bit. And, it's really... okay, when it took them 40 years or 35 years to be inaugurated into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, because Rolling Stone magazine took against them at the beginning because they were weird and they didn't do normal records. And so when they finally got inaugurated, they were inaugurated by... What's that band called? Yeah? The Foo Fighters. because right. Dave Grohl and Taylor Hawkins both got into drumming because of Neil Peart and Rush.
Yeah.
Oh. And so they had this big speech where they swore a lot at the journalist that didn't put them in there. And then they Foo Fighters tried to do a cover of one of their records dressed as them from the 70s.
Oh,
it was funny. It was really funny. And Taylor Hawkins is doing his best to do a Neil Peart, the professor, as he was known. And they're all trying to do, they're doing a great job. And then they said afterwards in interviews, they had been practicing for 5 months solid to be able to do that one song. And they're never doing it again. It was too hard. Because they're just incredible musicians. And they've got a sort of an honesty and a decency about them. Just normal people, relatively. Yeah. Just normal people. Anyway, so their big breakthrough album was called 2112.
Yeah. There you go. Well, that's great. Can I get back onto topic?
Yes, go on.
In terms of GT7, I think Roo's bit's frozen. And that. Well, we. oh, there we are. There, he's back. We're going to get back onto topic. Onto GT7 and coming up with good combinations, because we had come up with a great combination of Mini Coopers at Goodwood. So what are their what are our next favorite combinations that we think something that would be fresh for to take to PD and say, come on PD, let's have some new Day of the Races and do this. What do you think? I'll come to you, Darren.
No. Oh god.
Pressure.
One that I don't think they've done it on GT Sport, but they've not done it on this, is I can't remember the Tokyo one with the big long straight.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That one in the Ford GTs.
Oh, that'd be good.
That
good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That'd be good. Yeah, yeah. Oh, I like that one.
All right.
And plus classic Americans at Big Willow. I'd like to see that.
I like Mustangs and things like that.
Mustangs, everything. Yeah, that'd be good, that.
Yeah.
Even put a daily race, on like the silly tires that don't stick to the road. It'd just be fun.
Aye. Yeah, no, that's
you pretend you're Steve McQueen. Yeah. Steve McQueen doing a remake of Bullet, but in Tokyo instead of San Francisco.
Yeah.
The one that you do it in San Francisco, they'd shoot you.
Now here's a good one. Now Cheech has come up with Cheech has said they need race A, B, and C, and then a Kimi Velocini lobby, so that he's on his own, or he's not affecting the rest of them. That would be a good one. Jerry has come up with the 1960s Honda F1 car, which is actually a really nice car to drive, and to have that at Spa. That would be awesome. Maybe like a race.
I did that in VR around Spa, and that's brilliant.
Yeah.
You mean the 12 one used to burst into flames and
I think go it's up a like V8. A flare? It's V6 or a V8, that one.
It depends which Honda one you're talking about. The Honda of the 1960s.
The RA thing that they've got in the game now.
Say again.
Is it that Honda RA thing that they've got in the game now?
Yes. They've got the Formula One from the 60s. It's like a 1968 Honda F1.
A fantastic car to drive. Back.
It's a lovely noise from it. Nice engine. It's
brilliant.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. It might have been one that Surtees drove and hated, like in real life. And then it burst into flames, and because it was made of magnesium aluminium alloy, it went up like a strip of magnesium, you know, like in school in chemistry when they lit it.
A very bright white light.
I don't know if it's the same one, but that was a 60s Honda V12 thing. The exhaust sticking out the top, and this kind of like snakes fighting each other look.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not sure, but. Grey Wolf has said that he's done the 65 car, the 65 Honda around Monza, because they did have that as a race A or something, I think, wasn't it? One of the races recently, and that was a fantastic. That was a nice combination, actually. Although the first chicane at Monza is always fun, in any car.
Yeah,
on race A.
Monza is fantastic.
Can you get through there without it ghosting out, or get through without being kind of put to the back? But no, it's quite a thing. But interesting. Do you think that GT7 needs more tracks as well? Do you think it's going to be struggling 100%. A bit?
Yes. Yeah. And also for the weekly races, even though they're called dailies, they need to add another two. PlayStation 5 can handle it.
Yeah.
But I think they may have been, but they dumbed it down, didn't they, to get it out on PS4 as well. I think they'll end up bringing out two extra races, or at least two extra races just for PS5.
Yeah.
Because they brought Sophie out for PS5.
Yeah.
And that's not on the PS4. So I think they'll end up doing that. They need to add a bit more variety to spice it up a bit.
Yeah. Well, it was quite interesting because up until a couple of months ago, everyone was kind of saying that the game was dying and they were struggling and what do you do with it? And then all of a sudden, that huge update. And then we had a whole host of new single player modes. New time trials, all sorts of stuff. They really pulled out everything they could to try and get it up to date. But I think they're going to have to keep doing that, as you say, with more races. Constant. Yeah, yeah.
It's very samey all the time.
Yeah, yeah. I think you kind of know the tracks that are coming. In fact, I was on gtsrank.com, I think it is. It's and it tells you where the new tracks are. And it's still very much similar kind of tracks that we're kind of getting on a regular basis. But hopefully they'll kind of use everything, because to be fair, Saint Croix is on next week. I think it's one of the ones next week.
For one next of the week or the first week in January. I'm not seeing it. I know, because they've put two lots out, haven't they? They've done 2 weeks worth.
Yeah. So it might be the last week before the new year. I wonder for a week this Monday coming and then the following week. But that looks, St. Croix is always quite good. It's a difficult, if you don't know the track, it takes a bit to learn it. You know, a lot of corners.
It takes a lot for me to learn it.
Yeah, but now here, Connor Jackson has said, I'd love to see more GT7 tracks.
But it is a compliment.
What did you say, Ru?
I'm just saying, you're still faster than me, buddy. I know it's not much of a compliment, but it is a compliment.
Well, thank you very much, sir. Thank you.
Hey, listen, I've got no pride in this. I know I'm rubbish. It's fine.
It's all right. I am too.
And Political Mind has joined us, and he's saying he's getting GT7 for Christmas, but only on the PS4. We have to tell Jonathan to spend some of his money and buy a PS5. Surely he can get a PS5 by now.
Well, let's get him hooked on it first, and then and then he can get the PS5.
Ah, SDS has joined us as well. Good to see you.
Hello,
SDS. We are talking F1 and GT7, and what kind of combinations would you like to see in GT7? Things that we've not had before that we think would be really good. David McLean has said, a track every couple of months. Think first one on the new year. That would be quite a good one, wouldn't it? To start afresh with a new track.
What do you mean? Good. Have a new track every couple of months.
Yeah, like a new track every couple of months. I think that would certainly get things moving. I would quite like to see the Circuit of Americas in there. I think that would be quite an interesting track. You know, because it's quite long.
Yeah.
The problem is I think a lot of these tracks aren't on there because of licensing. So Circuit Americas is probably exclusively used by the F1 game.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. You know, you don't know what, you know, the behind the scenes problems they've got in terms of getting permission to use them. If they've got a contract with F1, that only the F1 can use that track or something.
What about the old GT games? The old GT games are the fictional tracks. They could bring them.
Yeah, because there's still quite a few that they haven't used.
Yeah, I mean, look, you've got Cape Ring, for example. That was, I used to love that, with the big, like the car park thing, used to call it, going up. There's so many older tracks that were fictional ones that they created that why don't they bring them back?
Yeah, just redo them. Now, SDS has a great comment. He says, I would like to see a random daily race. So you join and you don't know what you're going to get until you get there.
That is such a good idea.
That is a great idea.
Yeah.
I think that's brilliant. And if now Cheech has said, but if half the grid don't know the tracks, SDS, wait, but they just say that is a good idea. But I think that would be great. I think that would be fantastic because you literally turn up and then you don't know what it is and then you just have to have a go. And then that would be a level playing field, wouldn't it? That would certainly that would be quite interesting. That's a very good idea. Well, if anyone knows PD or is friendly with the chap who runs it all, then I'm sure we've got people like Flash, if he's still around. I'm sure he'll be able to do that for us. Or these guys that come in that know, that have all these hundreds of thousands of subscribers, I'm sure they can have a bit of influence and recommend that one. Yes, I'm going to try again and see if I can get Super GT on the show. But he's that busy, it's very, very difficult to get him to get a few minutes with him. But you never know. You never know. Hopefully we're going to get Rory as well. We're going to get Rory back on and Tinsley and a few others. We'll get that all booked up. But
I would like Valerio Gallo back on. And yes, you still haven't. Yeah. I asked so many times and you refused to even try to do what I asked. Remember?
Well, that was to get him to do his funny celebration thing, was it not?
No, I just wanted him to say Peter stop.
You know,
all I wanted. It's like Alonso and Cars the movie, and then Valerio Gallo, and it would have been like hat trick for hat trick. Thank you very much.
I'm still waiting for him to get the great moustached one on. That's not happened yet.
Oh yes, I. Oh, Nigel, that would be amazing. That would be amazing. And that, I mean, it's there are. I'm trying to find out who might know him because I've got a good connections with the Jim Clark Motor Museum in Duns in Scotland, and they have Jackie Stewart, that's one of the founders, and there's quite a few others. There's Dario Franchitti and a whole bunch of them. So I'm trying to see if there's any way we can get in there and see what they can do.
You know, get Andrew to talk to JYS. Get him on a show. Come on now.
And can I announce that we've just hit 700 subs. We've just hit 700 subs, which is fantastic. And I'm like, that's the thing. It's that is amazing. I totally forgot. I was so consumed with the interview here, but that's what we've been aiming for. For a bit, and now we're up to 700. So that is fantastic. Thank you to everyone who's subbed in the last wee while and who's been with us for many, many years. It's fun. It's great. It's great to know that we've finally done it. And now we're on to 800. And then the next one, finally, we'll get monetized. And then my bank manager will celebrate.
But the next thing to do. Yes.
You know, you should try and get on, Hugh. Try and get Timmy on.
Yeah, Kimmy Bellicini. That would be interesting. You must have a YouTube channel somewhere, isn't it? You must have
someone that does a really good Kimmy impersonation.
Yeah. It's now Cheech just said Hun gameplay. Yeah. I follow Hun, but I did try and get in touch with her, but now I'm on her Discord, so I'll try and get in touch again and see if I can get her on. She's called Hun gameplay. She's a female racer with about 2,000 subs. Does a lot of videos about dirty drivers. She's British, and she's interesting. Actually, she's good. She's quite funny. Kind of has a good sarcastic sense of humour on her videos.
Is she Scottish?
No, she's not Scottish. She's English. And that's
why she's got a good sense of humour then.
And I can take that.
I'm only joking.
No, that's the thing. So we've got a few. From the word go in January,
we'll heat with a rolling pin. Don't show this.
I think he's having a moment, you know.
I think.
No, she's Scottish. That's what she could say. She does about the drivers. She could. If she did it in a, I don't know, like a Sky accent or a, you know, the Islands accent. It's quite guttural, isn't it? She's like, something like that. She can sound like she's from a croft, you know, a crofter.
Yeah. I was going to say, now Cheech said SDS said that he wants GT Leia, who is Scottish, from Glasgow, or certainly from the Central Belt. I did actually have GT Leia lined up to come on, but unfortunately she cancelled a wee while ago. That was a couple of years back when she was going to come on. But I'd be quite happy to have her on again. I know she's had quite a lot of issues with Key 25. They've had a few battles and a few clashes. But no, I'd be quite happy to have her back on again.
You need to get Key back on as well. Key's awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
Key should definitely watch that one. He's Key's biggest fan.
Yeah. But yeah, so no, that would be the thing. So we're starting to gradually get through the big streamers. And when they've got time, hopefully in the new year, that would be something. Now, David McLean said, must be going up in the world if you've had races with Kimmy. But that would be the thing. Yeah, we'll have to see if we can get in touch with Kimmy Velocini. Because remember a couple of years ago, if I remember even just a year ago, Kyrith Cart, he did an interview with... it was Momo's 91, who at the time had this reputation of being really
dodgy.
That was
last year, wasn't it?
Yeah, last year, and he managed to get an interview with him. So that would be, that would be quite an interesting one if we could get Kimmy Velocini on.
And I'll send him a message tomorrow.
Aye, see what happens if he's
I'll send him a message tomorrow. Can't do anything.
Yeah. I said, and say, I'll, Cheech has now said message retracted. Yeah. Oh, we may as well see.
I'm probably one of the few people actually know his real name.
Wow. Oh, well, yeah. No, I'd be up for that. I mean, I think today's interview showed that we can have very frank interviews and they make for great watching because they're very honest and we can challenge, you know, the goods and the bad. And so on, you know, and how it all works. So, it would be fun. And I'm hoping as well to have a touring car driver on because one of my friends I found out happens to know a retired touring car driver, Matt Neal. So, and he's won the touring cars on many occasions. He drove for Honda, and he's been in touring cars for years and years.
That'll be a big scoop.
Yeah, so I'm hoping if I could manage it, then we could get in with him. And
Jensen Pluto.
Yeah, well, is he? That would be something. I know he obviously knows him from the racing side.
Quite famously had close proper punch ups in the pit lane.
Yeah.
They hate each other. Yeah, absolutely hate each other.
Yeah, but John Cleland, who's the famous driver, you know, Vauxhall driver from the 90s, he just lives in Galla Shields. And I've been thinking about trying to get him on for ages, and he does a lot on Twitter. So I'm wondering if he might do it, if he might come on, because he would be great. I think he would be a really good laugh. And those guys were committed. I mean, we think that F1 drivers were committed, but these guys had incredible battles in their saloon cars. With Andy Rouse and all these kind of touring car drivers of the 90s. I mean, it was epic races.
But you've been asking all the questions. You have just thought, what would you like to see put in Gran Turismo 7?
Oh, excellent question.
I would like to see a proper Formula 1 car put in Gran Turismo 7. So not that horrible 1500 horse, you know, that 1500T thing.
Oh, the old one.
A horrible thing. It's a dire thing to drive. But something nice. I'm not saying it has to be the absolute most modern one that they have today, but even like a take on the V8 cars that they had. Something a bit of fun that I think would be quite interesting. Also, something like a Formula Ford. Could they not get a Formula Ford?
Mm-hmm.
Ah, Combustion Corner has joined us. Ah, good to see you.
Hello, TC.
Good to see you. Now, SDS has said, I've got another idea. I would love interviews with some well-known chatters. He's saying you're not well-known enough.
I feel heartbroken. 540 people know me.
I'm
happy with that.
Well, that's the thing. I always remember...
co-host, I'll have you known. I don't need to be known by anybody.
Oh, that's the thing. You're getting honest conversation, that's for sure. That when it comes through. But yeah, I would like to see probably a Formula One car, or at least something better than what they have so far, and a Formula Ford, or that kind of, you know, a kind of entry level Formula Ford type car. I think that would be quite fun. I mean, I think it was quite nice when they brought in things like the Alpha 155, because that was a great car and it's fun to drive and it's still popular. And I know maybe it's hard to get licenses to do like touring cars because there's so many games that have them. I think there's something, you know, we need iconic cars that kind of, you know, that kind of stand out. Almost like, I mean, it's like when you go on like Dirt Rally 2, you've got like the Lancias, the Group B rally cars. And they're amazing to drive. You can get a Metro 6R4, for goodness sake, you know. And those cars are kind of crazy. So I think we need some really amazing cars, almost like the BMW M5 from the 80s. Or the, you know, like that, because I think they did have the BMW M3 for the 80s. I can't remember if they brought that in recently or not. They have. But the M5, because that was a classic, or even the 850. The BMW 850 from the old, you know, from that old one that they had in the 80s, that was quite a machine. Oh, no, the M6, was not the M6. That would be the, I think it was the M6 that they had in the 80s. You know, the big coupe? It was quite a famous one.
That was the 850 with the pop-up headlights.
635 CSI, aren't you? With the
Yes.
At the beginning of Lethal Weapon 2, they have a big chase through the streets of wherever the hell they are. In it, and there's lots of Krugerrand in the back, and one of them.
So there's some interesting and iconic cars.
The 850. I mean, I don't understand. There's been I've noticed online people saying, "Oh, it's a really nice car." And it's like, I remember when it came out, and it was a whale. It was horrible. It was fat, heavy, basically my ex-wife. No character.
You know. I can't go to commercial. I don't know. I'm not on.
There's a collective gasp then, Ruth.
Yeah. that's brilliant. It's like having James Hunt in the commentary or something.
I've been called our James Hunt, as you know.
Yes, you have indeed.
I don't know why. I never got paid as much as him, and I don't smoke weed. So, nor do I have budgerigars or canaries or whatever the hell he used to. Where he smoke his stuff. I don't know what the birds would end up like. You might have been trying to fly around going, "Hey, man."
I'd like to see more iconic cars. And in terms of some of the tracks, I was actually just thinking, now Jerry brought this up earlier for F1 tracks. Estoril. But Simon, sorry, Simon. I keep getting them. I'm terrible with names. I'm sorry. I do apologize. you should have. See, when Ru and I, a couple of years ago, had to do an ACC race commentary for TEA, for the Amazons, and a lot of the drivers were French and Spanish and Italian. And I was trying to pronounce these things. Partly the problem was I couldn't see the names right because the screen was so small. We had so many screens on our screen to try and watch. And anyway, I kept trying to say these names, and they thought this was pure comedy because it was like Franglais. You know, everything was being pronounced with an English accent, even when it wasn't, when it was Italian and French and everything else. So that was
a patois, is it not?
Yes, it was very funny.
We do.
So that was good. But yes.
I was saying no.
I even got myself a track map to try and impress you. So I knew the corners one. I still got it wrong. But that was a lot of fun. Well, I'm actually hoping to have some commentators on as well, because there's a lot of really good sim racing commentators who are quite well known now, who I'm going to have back on, and some new ones that we haven't had on before. So that's all in the pipeline.
Five live on, ask them why they're so crap.
Well, the five live ones are not great.
Well, they've changed them all again. So they've obviously realised the last lot were rubbish, and they've got them. They've still got Jolly and Palmer in it, though, and they're still an insufferable. Oh, yes. My daddy's Jonathan Palmer. We own racing rockets. I now work for Sky sometimes, and they may have got rid of me or something. I don't know.
Well, he did, didn't he? He worked for Sky and then he went for BBC, but BBC have kept him.
Well, he's on the BBC for ages, and then Sky decided to give him a job. And I think he looks so much like the Scarecrow from The Wizard of Oz on the telly that they got rid of him again. I don't know whether they got rid of him. I don't watch it. But, he used to do, like, on YouTube, he used to do breakdowns of things that have happened in the race.
Yeah, yeah. But you can't beat Ted's Notebook. See, Ted's Notebook is just much better.
Brilliant. I love that.
Isn't it?
I like Ted. Ted's grown on me a lot over the years. I mean,
yeah, he is good. Because he's honest. Ted is honest with his write-ups, I think.
Cheeky in a friendly way.
Yeah. James, you can have respect for him.
What's his name? James...
Well, there was James Allen that was a commentator for a long time.
Right. He was okay as a pit lane reporter because he liked numbers and laptops, you know?
Yeah,
and that was
fine.
Then Murray Walker retired, mm-hmm. and James Allen got the job, and he was going on about how he's wanted to do this all his life, and then he swallowed four dictionaries and couldn't just tell you what was going on in the race. Yeah. And he tried to come out with some Shakespearean sonnet, and you're just like, nobody knows what you're talking about, mate. Either shut up or tell us what's going on. And there was a campaign on a website, which still exists, called sniffpetrol.com, which was created by someone that nobody knew who it was until they found out it was actually one of the journalists from Evo magazine. It did it as a spoof of his own business and started a campaign called Stop the Cock to get rid of James Allen. And it worked. They sacked him and got in. Well, they got in a plank of wood and it was better.
Well, because when they changed it from ITV to BBC One in 2009, Allen didn't go through it. And they had the chap from the BBC, Jonathan Ledger, was it Ledgard?
Ledger.
And he wasn't great. He only lasted a year or two.
He wasn't great, but he's still better than the people that are on now. It's like you look back and you go, oh, Mr. Heady Days of someone that was just not very good. but at least they tried, and now they're all 4 years old, and they're like going, oh, yes, and oh, yeah. And only the other day I was watching Tiki Tok, and you're like, oh, who cares? You can't even drive, you're not old enough to have a license.
Yeah, I'll be back in 1 sec. I've just got to sort my charger out. My phone's about to die.
I was going to say, no problem. We're probably going to call it a day quite soon, but not to worry.
I'll have a beer as well. Oh, it's not going to get me a beer.
I was going to say who I thought would be a great commentator or who would be very funny in the pit lane, but I know it will make you mad. Have a guess. I think Clarkson. I think Jeremy Clarkson would be hilarious.
Yeah, but you see, the problem is, you're making an assumption here because Clarkson's been growing on me over these past few years, especially with Clarkson's form.
Yeah.
A lot better. And a lot of the stuff that is been coming out with over the years, I mostly agree with the stuff that everybody hated him for.
Yeah.
It was all the stuff that they did to Top Gear where it stopped me learning about cars that I'll never be able to afford. Yeah. Instead, some stupid race across Europe and
I
need to watch Teletubbies. I need to watch Car Pro. Thank you.
Yeah, I sort of think though, whenever you're watching sport, if you whether it be F1 or touring cars or anything, if the commentary is good, it makes a massive difference. SDS says he loves Clarkson. See, I'm the same. I've never thought he's done. I've always liked him. I've always liked his stuff. I used to collect his videos, especially in the 90s, like the Heaven and Hell and all these, you know, the fastest supercars, all these ones. They were great fun. They were just really well done, and he was hilarious. I remember once I took one of his videos on a bus trip with me because it was so funny. I thought I'll entertain. There were 60 of us on a bus, so I took one of my videos because I knew I had a video player, and we all watched Clarkson's like favorite cars, and it was brilliant. Now Simon Jerry's saying we don't like Clarkson in Norfolk, but he is hilarious. If you're a Clarkson fan. And if you've not seen his take with James May on Peugeot drivers and the history of Peugeot, you can get it on Top Gear or on YouTube. It is one of the funniest things you'll ever see. It is absolutely brilliant on how they do it. But no, I think they've got a real... I know that, yes, they kind of have these big challenges. I would love to see them go back to normal cars or bad cars. Let's have Britain's worst cars and they've got to choose them. And then they can do a challenge with them.
I've got videos as well. And my favourite one is one where he pulled a larder in half with two Euclid Earth movers.
He
was describing its acceleration, where he puts his foot to the floor and it actually slows down. But he also had, I think he had all the nine faster than 200 mile an hour cars, including the XJR15 and the XJT20 and all those kind of things. And he nearly killed himself in the XJR15. Yeah. It was excellent.
I just like the way he can recognize a bad car, and it's not just a Lada Riva or an FSO. There's lots of different ones. It was like, I love him. I wish he would just do an old version Vauxhall Mokka. I think if Clarkson drove the old style Vauxhall Mokka, he would truly think that was the worst car ever made, because it was pretty bad. The new one is a bit better. But the old Mokka.
Well, I mean, who thinks of these names?
They have to do a challenge with a Vauxhall Mokka. You know, I think that would be brilliant.
They literally should have called it the Vauxhall Stovetop. The Bialetti Mokka Stovetop Espresso Maker. You know those little aluminium things, sort of hexagonal. That's a Mokka.
They have a Ford version of that horrendous thing as well. Oh, it's the Ford something Sport, EcoSport. One of them would have to drive an EcoSport because they're horrendous. And then I'm trying to think what else is like a Kia Stoner or something. I know it's like, the Americans will think it's a Stoner, as in it's been named after a weed, a famous drug. But it's not. it was something. But I think if they had that, I think that would be the funniest thing. Or they have to go into an old barn find, like an old scrapyard, and get three ancient old cars and get them running and then drive.
That's our thing. Get lost. You, me, and John are doing that. You should. Clarkson's not allowed. You've been planning us doing that for years, so no.
It's just we need the budget to do it.
He can go and find bananas or something like that. That's what he needs to do. He needs to do a nature program where he's stood next to a water buffalo.
He found a banana. It's called Richard Hammond.
Ant thinks the banana's Richard Hammond, so okay.
Oh, well. No, it is good. It is good. Well, we've been going for over an hour. I'm going to need to have to finish up because... my children might be still awake because they can maybe hear me talk, even though I'm in my box room with my new soundproof door. And I'm getting hints that they can still hear me. So I better... Darren has run away. I'm afraid Darren has run away and it hasn't come back. So
that's because he's sensible. He's not.
He's torn away. So I'm going to have to end things there. But look, thank you very much to everybody who's been watching this year and who supported us. I know we've just got started again in the last couple of months, but it's been amazing to get back into things and to get to know you all again and to host interviews and to do our streams. To everyone who's been supporting us, whether this recently subscribed or been with us for a long time, it's great to have you on side. And I hope you've enjoyed the content and there'll be much more to come. And please have a look at our catalogue in the channel because we've got lots of great interviews. It would be a shame for you to miss them. We've got all the big guys like Super GT and Key, Rory, the number's gone, Tijney, they've got Hundreds Dalking. We've got everybody, all the big names in our catalogue. So please go and have a look at that if you like. And have a wonderful Christmas to you all and a great new year.
David Perrell back on.
Yes, definitely. We need to get David Perrell. That would be fantastic. Yeah. And we'll get some racing drivers too as well. That will be the plan and the goal for 2024. But have a lovely Christmas and New Year, everyone, and enjoy the festive period and take care. We have good health and we'll see you next week. I will still streaming and doing all the usual. But have a lovely time and thank you so much. We've hit 700 tonight, which is a fantastic goal achieved. So take care, everyone, and drive fast, but drive your bus even faster. Bye-bye.
Bye.